Ways and Means. The date is Friday, April 14th. Thank you, Senator. I'm opening a work session on House Bill 5036.
Good morning, Mike.
Racing Commission, Senator Monroe.
Hello, Barbara.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. First of all, I'd like to declare not a possible but a actual conflict of interest. My daughter-in-law is still the chief financial officer at Portland Meadows. House Bill 5036 is the budget bill for the Oregon Racing Commission. The term perimutuel is French and translates literally to mutual stake. The term, as used in racing, refers to like bets being placed together in a pool, whereby the winners receive a percentage of the total amount bet in proportion to their wagers after taxes and fees for management. The Racing Commission regulates all aspects of parimutuel industry in Oregon. The commission oversees horse racing at Portland Meadows Racetrack and at five county fair race sites. The commission also regulates off-site simulcast races and multi-jurisdictional advanced deposit waging hubs. Regulatory activities include licensing, inspections, and investigations of irregularities with the goals of ensuring the integrity of the sport, ensuring safety for the participants, equine athletes, and the public, and promoting horse racing in Oregon. Your subcommittee recommends a budget of $6,443,325 other funds and 14 positions, 12.27 FTE, for the Racing Commission. This recommendation equates to the current service level for the agency and anticipates an ending balance equivalent to 2 months of operating expenditures, including special payments. Your subcommittee recommends adoption of key performance measures and targets as presented, with the direction to provide specific additional narrative detail related to animal safety effort to provide context and additional transparency. Your Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5036 be amended by the Dash 1 Amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion, Senator.
Thank you, Chair Nathanson. Colleagues, I say this every year that we have this budget, and basically that is horse racing is very important to rural Oregon. And the biggest problem horse racing has been the fact that we've legalized gambling by the state and also for the casinos. So I just want to put that out there that we kind of have to, we have an obligation, I think, to look out for horse racing in this state, and I'm very supportive of this budget.
Thank you. Other discussion? Objections?
God, I'm important.
You.
I'm opening a work and closing the work session. Opening a work session on House Bill 5037, Real Estate Agency.
Senator Monroe. House Bill 5037 is the budget bill for the Real Estate Agency. The agency's mission is to provide quality protection for Oregon consumers of real estate, escrow, and land development services, balanced with a professional environment conducive to a healthy real estate market. Your Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends a budget of $7,898,615 other funds, with 29 positions, 29 FTE. Subcommittee adopted a policy option package that provides for 2017 to 2019 staffing and expenditures commensurate to the current service level and presumes approval of changes to the agency's fee schedule, which are contained in Senate Bill 68. Your subcommittee approved agency key performance measures and targets as presented and recommended that pursuant to KPM number 4, the agency survey its licensees sooner than current practice in hopes of focusing feedback on the aspects of the exam related to ethics and competence. Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5037 be amended by the Dash 1 amendment and reported out due pass as amended.
Yeah, he's moved.
Discussion. Yes, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Could we have staff just very, very briefly walk us through those two policy packages, Package 070 and 101. I was kind of confused because we took out $1.3 million. We reduced those expenditures back then through this new agency fee bill, which I understand hasn't been raised forever. I get all that. We put it back in, and I'm just trying to figure out why we did it that way.
Good morning, co-chairs, members of the committee for
good
the
good morning and happy birthday.
Thank you.
Oh, happy birthday.
There's nowhere else I would rather
be. I can understand that.
Speak to her, Madam Chair.
No, that's truly not necessary. The best present you can give me is to let me get down as soon as possible. Okay, so, again, for the record, Michelle Deister, Legislative Fiscal Office. The reason that you see those two packages, we pass 070. It's really basically... Thank you. It is really sort of a construct of the budget, the way we build budgets. You have to pass according to current law and current revenues in law. And so you have 070 taking those six positions out and that $1.3 million, and then you have to add back in what you want for a policy option package, which would be adding those things back in with the presumption that the fee schedule, which I believe you'll be considering shortly, passes. So when you get the fee associated with that fee bill, then you add in Senate Bill, or excuse me, Policy Option Package 101.
So, Madam Co-Chair, I 100% trust LFO, but I need a 101 training on this, so I'm going to come visit you later, because for some reason this isn't clicking with me why we're doing it this way, but I completely trust you. So,
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, it's basically they didn't have sufficient revenue to do this, so under if the other bill doesn't pass, then we wouldn't have added back any money. So you have to make a cut because they didn't have the revenue.
Got it. Okay. So. Got it.
Okay. Other discussion? Objections? House Bill 5037 is passed, and I'm closing the work session on House Bill 5037, opening a work session on Senate Bill 5504, Department of Aviation. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5504 is the budget bill for the Department of Aviation. The department promotes, develops, and improves Oregon's aviation system. It manages and maintains 28 state-owned airports, performs safety inspections of Oregon's 97 public-use airports, and registers all pilots and non-military aircraft based in Oregon. The agency is supported by aviation fuel taxes and pilot, aircraft, and airport registration fees. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends that a budget of $12,230,778 other funds and $4,516,499 federal funds for a total biennial budget of $16.75 million, including 15 positions, 14.25 FTE. The subcommittee also recommends adoption of the agency's key performance measures as presented. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5504 be amended by the Dash 2 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended. And out of an abundance of caution, my husband is in the I need to declare for the record, my husband is in the aviation business. I used to run the agency, and we're going to do another bill that I am subject to pilot registration fees in the state of Oregon.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Thank you for the recommendation. It's accepted. Senate Bill 5504 passes. Closing the work session on Senate Bill 5504. Opening a work session, Senate Bill 5507, Board of Chiropractic Examiners, Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Co-Chair Nathanson. Senate Bill 5507 is a budget bill for the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. The seven-member Consumer Protection and Licensing Board regulates the practice of doctors of chiropractic and certified chiropractic assistants. The Education Subcommittee recommends a budget of $2,065,164 other funds, which includes six positions comprising of 5.1 FTE. This budget represents a 6.8 increase from the 2015-17 legislative approved budget and a zero change from the 2017-19 current service level. The projected ending fund balance is equivalent to 4 months of operating expenses. The subcommittee also recommends adoption of the key performance measures as presented. The education sub recommends Senate Bill 5507 be amended by the Dash 1 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Senate Bill 5507 passes. I'm closing that work session. Opening a work session, Senate Bill 5514, Board of Dentistry, Senator Girard.
Thank you, Chair Nathanson. Senate Bill 5514 is the budget bill for the Board of Dentistry. The Education Subcommittee approved the other fund's budget of $3,315,858 and eight positions totaling eight FTEs. The budget is an 8.9% increase from the 2015-17 legislative approved budget, and the project ending balance of $719,701 will leave the board with approximately 5.2 months of operating expenses. The subcommittee approved small increases for security at the board meetings, tablets for the board members use rather than paper binders, three additional board meetings relating to patient safety, and increased the board per diem. Additionally, the subcommittee approved the phase out of monies related to the use of contract investigators with the addition of a dental investigative position approved in 2015. The subcommittee also reviewed and approved the board's key performance measure. The education subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5514 be amended by the Dash 1 amendments and be reported out due pass as amended. Colleagues, a few years ago, I think quite a few of us had some real problems with the Board of Dentistry. They have a new director now, and they are really they have really righted the ship, and I am proud to present this budget.
Discussion. Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Committee members.
I'm no longer licensed. Colleagues, I don't have to declare a conflict anymore simply because I am no longer licensed in the state. I have given up my license.
Representative Wisnow. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. This came through the subcommittee I served on with Barbara Smith Warner, and I found it interesting that they're one of their pop packages that we approved is sort of, I don't know how to view it, but they asked for $18,000 for security at their board meetings, which we approved, I guess. But that sort of, this committee should think about that.
Thank you. Other discussion? Yes.
That Senator just begs the question that we all want to know. What's up with that?
The reality of it.
I knew them dentists were dangerous, but.
Maybe that's why
yeah,
I'm here.
Yeah, and painful.
Really? Nice drugs.
Co-Chair?
Yes, Representative.
I did ask the director if the board came under the governor's ruling that you cannot carry weapons, and they said affirmative.
Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, Senator Johnson. Just to clarify, it's $8,000 for the security, and the board has felt based on some earlier meetings with discipline and stuff, that contracted security on site for board meetings would ease some concerns.
Thank you. I accept your answer. I think it's a sad commentary on the state of our civic discourse that we have small health licensing boards that right. now feel a need to have security.
All right.
Yes, Representative.
Madam Co-Chair, I noticed that the Board of Dentistry did not meet its objectives for customer satisfaction.
Might speak to the other question.
Is that related to customer security?
I'm just curious, is there a link between the two? I mean, if we could pick it up a bit and not be so insecure at the meetings. And
thank you.
Would the representative like a response, or is that more of a rhetorical comment?
I just find it a bit ironic that it's not meeting expectations and customer satisfaction, and so its solution is to beef up security. That's normally not one of the options we recommend.
Is there other discussion? Yes.
I kind of just wanted, I reviewed some of the complaints of people that lost their license, and the board doesn't take that lightly, and I would concur with what the board did. And there was some people that are absolutely, truly up in arms about that, and so I understand why they had to beef up security. Licensing boards are tough. It's a fine line they have to walk, and if they get too aggressive, then I would concur with what you were saying. And I think 4 to 6 years ago, especially when it involved autoclaves, they were way too aggressive. But the people that lost their licenses, for the most part, for the ones that I have reviewed, I would concur with the board.
With respect to the security, you have to understand that dentists have often have pretty powerful drugs in their office, and barbiturates and so on. Fred could tell you more what kind of drugs, but some people might want to break in and steal those drugs if they have a drug habit or something.
Correct.
Might be one of the reasons for having to have beefed up security to make sure that the property is secure, the dentist's office is secure, and you don't have people breaking in or stealing their powerful drugs.
Is there any other discussion? Objections. Senate Bill 5514 passes. I am closing the work session on Senate Bill 5514, opening a work session on Senate Bill 5520. Senator Johnson.
5520, the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. Senate Bill 5520 is the budget bill for the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. The commission impartially administers and enforces Oregon's government ethics laws. The commission and its staff also educate public officials and lobbyists on government ethics, lobbying regulation, and executive session provisions of public meeting laws. The General Government Subcommittee approved a $2,733,861 other funds budget for the commission that includes 9 positions and 9 FTE. This budget is a 2.1% decrease than the 15-17 legislatively approved budget and a 1.1% increase from the current service level budget. The subcommittee approved reclassifications of the agency executive director position and the staff position that supports the electronic filing system. The subcommittee also approved the key performance measures and targets for the commission. The General Government Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5520 be amended by the -1 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I just want to point out to the committee that the subcommittee actually threw quite a few bouquets to the commission for not only, one, the way they presented their information, but two, for how they've handled some really challenging issues over the last couple of years. I want to point out in the last biennium, their KPMs on customer satisfaction were kind of poor. And now that we look at where they've come over the last 2 years, they've significantly increased those KPMs on customer satisfaction, and so they're to be applauded.
Thank you. Other discussion? Objections? Senate Bill 5520 passes. I'm closing that work session, opening a work session on Senate Bill 27. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, colleagues. This is a government efficiency and streamlining bill. Current law requires pilots operating aircraft in Oregon to register with the Oregon Department of Aviation and to pay a pilot registration fee. The fee revenues are deposited into the Aviation Search and Rescue account and used to fund the search and rescue program administered by the Office of Emergency Management. Senate Bill 27 deletes the requirement for pilots to register, deletes the pilot registration fee, and abolishes the Aviation Search and Rescue account. The rationale for this bill is that that state-level pilot registration does not provide public safety benefits above and beyond those provided by the Federal Aviation Administration certification. All pilots are required to obtain FAA certification, which requires passing both written and practical tests. In its budget bill, SB 5504, the Department of Aviation proposes to continue funding the search and rescue program using aircraft registration fees. The amendment changes the effective date of the bill to July 1, 2017 to align with the start of the fiscal year. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 27 be amended by the Dash 1 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended. And to renew my disclosure as a potential conflict, my husband is in the aviation business and owns an airplane. I'm an Oregon pilot and subject to the fees we're about to get rid of, and I used to run the agency.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Senate Bill 27 passes. I'm closing that work session. Opening a work session, Senate Bill 68, Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senate Bill 68 increases fees imposed by the Oregon Real Estate Agency, and that was the budget I carried a little while back, and this fee is necessary to fund the budget that we all approved with 5037. Let's see, where are we? Business, okay. License applications, renewals, and reactivations, business name and branch office registrations, escrow agent, and office applications and renewals and temporary license fees. The measure establishes new fees for registered business name renewals and changes and for continuing education providers. Finally, the measure abolishes existing fees for address changes and license printing. The fee changes are estimated to generate $2.2 million in the 2017-19 biennium. Senate Bill 68 is assumed in the Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee's recommended budget 5037. I already said that. The budget bill for the real estate agency. During the real estate bubble, agency licensing revenue grew exponentially as the industry and number of realtors grew. During the subsequent recession, the agency spent down reserves accumulated during the previous expansion. The fees in Senate Bill 68 are estimated to enable the real estate agency to maintain its current level of service to licensees and the public through at least 2019 to 21 biennia, barring major economic disruption. In the absence of adopting this measure, the real estate agency would eliminate six positions, including financial investigators, administrative support, and business and information technology positions integral to furnishing policymakers and licensees with information and services associated with maintaining professional licensure and public protection. And we don't want to do that. The Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 68 be reported out due pass.
Thank you. Discussion? Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Ken, I want to go back. This is the conversation we previously had. Without this fee bill, those six positions would be eliminated.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, yes, this is exactly that situation.
Got it. And then I would just point out for the record, I had an opportunity to visit with a representative of the industry. They've shared that they're supportive of these fees. And in addition, I would share that these fees have not been increased since 1997-99, nearly 18 years ago.
Thank you. Yes, Senator.
I might just add to the good representative's comments. We discussed in the committee having, as part of just prudent business management, getting a fee schedule so that we don't let fees languish for 20 years before we come back and revisit raising them. And in this instance, this particular commissioner was very responsive to that. But I think it might be a thoughtful discussion point for other agencies.
Thank you. Other discussion? Objections. Senate Bill 60. Oh, I'm sorry. Discussion. Or objection.
I'm objecting.
I'm very sorry.
That's all right, Madam Chair.
I looked too fast.
I'm used to being ignored. What do you say?
I'm used to being ignored.
Yes. Just did I miss anybody else? Thank you. It will be noted. So that work session is now closed. And I have not pointed out at the beginning of the this list of work sessions that excused for today are Senator DeBoer and Representative Rayfield. So if that needs to be noted.
Representative Huffman.
And Representative Huffman just recently. Thank you. That's right. And we did get notice of that in advance. Thank you. We are now moving to federal grant application requests. The first one is Department of Corrections. Representative Stark.
Good morning, Madam Chair. On March 20th, the Public Safety Subcommittee recommended approval of the submission of a federal grant application for the Department of Corrections to the U.S. Department of Justice in the amount of $750,000 to research the impact of acute and or chronic stress on corrections officers and their families. The National Institute of Justice notes that frequent exposure to stress and traumatic events by correctional officers remains largely unexamined. The purpose of the grant is to study the impact of acute stress on physical and mental health, the long-term effects of chronic stress, and the effectiveness of programs aimed at treating stress and stress-related disorders. The Department of Corrections would use the grant funds to study its mindfulness-based emotional intelligence staff interventions by tracking physiological stress markers such as heart rate and by evaluating absenteeism. The grant award period is for up to 3 years, depending on project length, and there is no match requirement. If successful, the Department of Corrections may return to the legislature to seek additional federal funds expenditure limitation. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends approval.
Discussion. Objections. Passes. Thank you. Next is Department of Education, Representative Smith Warner.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. On April 11th, the Education Subcommittee recommended approval of the submission of a federal grant application from the Department of Education to the U.S. Department of Education in the amount of $4 million to enable the use of data to make instructional decisions to improve academic and behavioral outcomes of students in rural and elementary schools. If awarded, ODE will work with the University of Kansas's School-Wide Integrated Framework for Transformative Education Center and rural elementary schools in Oregon. The intent of the grant is to more effectively use student academic, attendance, disciplinary, and behavioral data through a web-based tool and link this data with appropriate decisions regarding instruction and behavioral supports for students. The web-based tool, or data wall, brings together data already available in schools into one integrated system to allow teachers and other school staff to make more informed decisions. Most of the grant funds will pass through to the University of Kansas, which will provide direct services or contract for programming of the data wall applications for each school, technical assistance, and for the evaluation of the project. Funding is also available for districts to pay for staff overtime and substitute teachers. The first year of the five-year grant will be a pilot project in the Redmond and sister school districts. Over the remainder of the grant period, up to another 40 rural elementary schools will be added to the project. The Education Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you. Discussion. Yes.
Yes, thank you. I'm just curious about the issue regarding security of data, regarding those students and where who will hold it, and how it will it be passed along to vendors, or is it just within the academic environment?
I would like to perhaps call on staff to help me answer that.
That's a great idea.
Sorry for not going there early. Sorry.
Madam Chair, Senator Frederick, I asked the department that same question as I was working on this grant. First of all this information is already available in the school. The application is to bring together it into one location, more effectively use it. Second of all, they've been working with Redmond School District for a couple years, I believe, and that was one of the things, is setting up the protocol. My understanding is that the information will stay within the school or district, depending on the size of the district. And keep in mind, all this information already exists, but in a desperate form, or in various locations.
The second part of the question was regarding vendor. Is this going to be passed along to particular vendors, or is it specifically within the academic environment?
Madam Chair, Senator Frederick, I didn't ask that specific question. My guess is the University of Kansas folks and the folks working on the development of the data systems, because they're sort of individualized, will have access to some of the data while they're doing it. But again, they've already worked with the school district in Redmond to work on those protocols, and that will be part of the project, on those protocols.
Thank you very much. I just want to make sure that we continue to monitor this, considering that we now have some ability or approval at the federal level to pass along personal information to vendors to be able to use information like that. And I just want to make sure that we continue to monitor it. So thank you.
Thank you. Other discussion? Objections? That passes. I am skipping the Department of Environmental Quality air toxics ambient monitoring request for today. That will not be covered on today's agenda.
Okay.
The final one to cover today is Judicial Department. Senator Winters.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On March 15th, the Public Safety Subcommittee recommended retroactive approval of the submission of a federal grant application from the Judicial Department to the U.S. Department of Justice in the amount of $550,000 for a Justice for Families program grant. The federal grant programs will support the Family Court Enhancement Project operated by the Multnomah County Circuit Court. The Family Court Enhancement Project assists litigants in domestic violence cases who have been subject to domestic violence. The assisted litigants do not have attorneys, and the program helps them to access the court. Project funds also support training of judges, court staff, and attorneys to improve court adjudication of domestic violent cases. The project is operated by the Multnomah County Court and is currently funded by an earlier federal grant. If the application is successful, the new grant will be used to continue the program for a three-year period starting in October 2017. The grant has no state match requirements. There are no requirements to continue any grant-supported activities or services after the grant expires. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? That passes. There is no other business on our agenda today. Thank you, everybody, for your patience and cooperation. Would Co-Chair Devlin have anything to add before we adjourn?
There will be a meeting next Friday morning.
We are adjourned.
No pre-meetings next. No pre-meeting session. No pre-meetings next. No pre-meeting session.